Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording in Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Nazir Samech Beis, Nazir 62b, pagination is 124. We're going to, however, start with the Mishnah that we encountered yesterday, Samech Aleph Amud Aleph, 61a, pagination 121. We're dealing with the case which was practiced in biblical times of slaves, and one of the laws which typically applied was that slaves generally had the same mitzvos as Jewish women. And if a mitzvah applied to women, then slaves would also be obligated in that mitzvah. So that, for example, laws of kashrus are going to apply equally, and a slave would be obligated in those mitzvahs. Keep in mind that we're dealing with a non-Jew who somehow became a slave of a Jew, and that slave typically would be described as some level of geirus, some level of becoming Jewish, v'lechlal Yisrael lo ba'u, but they're not a full level of Jewishness. Mila, circumcision was done, tevila, immersing in a mikvah was done for the women, just mikvah, same as geirus, and the status of this slave is to be obligated in mitzvahs, in a general sense. Question that we are addressing is, what happens if this slave vowed to be a Nazir? So the Mishnah tells us, still on the first line of the Mishnah, Noshim va'avodim yesh lahen nazirus. Both women and slaves have the laws of nazirus applied to them. However, there's a distinction, one in terms of seriousness of the woman's vow, and one in the seriousness of the slave's vow, as follows. Chomer benoshim mibo avodim. A woman's vow is more serious than the eved's vow. Shehu kofe es avdo, because the master is allowed to force his slave to drink wine, even though he vowed nazirus. They considered wine generally to be beneficial for the health of the person. And the master is allowed to say, you are obligated to me as a slave, and therefore you cannot limit your wine consumption. Ve'ena kofe es ishto. But he does not have the power to force his wife and somehow abrogate her vow of nazirus once the vow of nazirus takes hold. We do know that a husband can object. He can negate the wife's vow, biyom shamo, on the day that he hears of it. But if he did not negate the vow, it will take effect. And there's a major difference over here being described. In the case of the slave, if the vow takes effect, the master can still force him to drink wine, and he's not going to be bound by this nazirus vow. However, regarding his wife, same man, but in the capacity of being a husband, if the vow takes effect, and she is a nazira, she will have to observe it, and the statement of the husband's objection makes no difference, unless, as we mentioned, he negates it biyom shamo, on the day that he hears of it. Let's move on to today's daf, Samech Beis Amud Beis 62b. At the top of the page, we find the flip side in this following Mishnah. Chomer ba'avodah mibenoshim. The slave vow of nazirus is more binding, more serious than a woman's vow of nazirus in a different regard. Shehu mefer nidrei ishto, because a man can negate the vows of his wife, ve'eno mefer nidrei avdo, and there is no such mechanism regarding his eved. And therefore, hefer le'ishto, if he negates the vow of his wife, hefer olamis, the negating is forever, and even if he dies or divorces her, the vow will not take effect because it's been negated. It truly has its impact. However, hefer la'avdo, if he tries to negate the vow of the slave, so during the time that the slave is his, so nothing to do with the negating, it's just he's allowed to give his slave wine to drink. But yatza lecherus, once the slave goes free and is no longer bound by that relationship, mashlim nezirusso, he is going to fulfill his nezirus. In other words, he's bound by the nezirus. It didn't fundamentally get removed because of the master's objection. So again, in the first Mishnah of the Perek, we're describing that the wife's vow is more serious in that he can't force her. Once it's binding, it's binding. Whereas the slave is in the reshus, in the possession of the master, and the master can object and force him, so to speak, to drink wine. In this Mishnah, we're doing the flip side, that a slave's vow of Nazirus is more serious in that once the bond with this master husband is released, the woman has already been negated in her vow and it's not going to take effect. Whereas the objection to the slave's vow is only as long as he's a slave. Once he's no longer a slave, he's going to be bound by his Nazirus vow. Dropping down to the bottom of the page, the bottom quarter of the page in the middle of the line, Masnisin, Ova mikineged panav, if the slave runs away, Rabbi Meir Omer lo yishte, Rabbi Meir says he should not drink wine. Presumably, on some level, he's free. And if he's free, his vow of Nazirus now takes effect. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yishte, and Rabbi Yossi says, you could drink wine, presumably, on some level, he's still the slave of the master. And as a slave of the master, he still drinks wine, because those are the rules of the relationship with the master that the slave's vow of Nazirus cannot infringe. And that's how the Gemara initially understands it. Lema b'dishmuel kamifligi. Let's assume that Reb Meir and Reb Yossi, who are arguing on his status regarding wine, are really arguing regarding the law of Shmuel. The Omar Shmuel, Shmuel said, "Hamafkir avdo yotza lecheiros ve'ein tzarech get shichrur." Shmuel taught that if a person makes his slave free, the slave goes free and does not require a specific document in order to do the transaction of freeing him, even though major status is changing, but it doesn't require a document according to Shmuel. He simply has to state that the Eved is free, ownerless, I no longer have rights to the slave, and at that moment, the slave goes free. As Tosfos in the bottom Tosfos explains, the assumption was that over here also, when the slave runs away, the owner is miyayesh, he gives up hope of finding the slave, and therefore the slave has a status of hefker, and therefore if you agree with Shmuel, the slave is free, and he is now bound by the nazir wine restriction. Whereas if you disagree with Shmuel and you hold that the slave is still owned by the master, then he could still drink wine. Reb Meir is slay de Shmuel. Reb Meir, who says that he cannot drink at this time, means that he's free and is agreeing with Shmuel that the slave went free. Rabbi Yossi Lesle de Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, who says that he could drink, is holding that he's still bound in his slave status because he disagrees with Shmuel and holds that the slave is not free. Obviously, just to process this properly, to appreciate that this is counterintuitive. Generally, we think that the slave wants to be free. In this particular case, as far as the drinking wine goes, it's not to his advantage to be free, because as long as he's bound to the master, he's going to be able to consume wine, whereas going free sounds like a great deal, but if you focus on the consumption of wine, going free is not good, because then he's not bound by the master, and the vow of Nazirus that he made will take effect. The Gemara objects, Lo, Duchule Alma Isle de Shmuel, everybody agrees to Shmuel. Elamanda Omar Yishte Savar Sof Sof Mehadar Hadar Vaosi Gabe Lishti Chamra Kihechi Dilo Likhosh. One approach is that he should continue drinking wine because eventually he'll end up back by the master. And we want him to drink wine because the assumption was that the wine keeps him healthy. Ulamanda Omar Lo Yishte. And the opinion who says that he's not allowed to drink is not because they disagree with Shmuel. It's simply because the status of Hefker and Yiyush has not yet occurred. The slave is running free, but he's not free yet. And therefore, his approach to that status and situation was, Sava lehevele tzaira, let's impose a restriction of wine as if he's free. Let him get a taste of freedom, so to speak, where he will be restricted in drinking wine, kihechi de lahada gabe, in order that he should have an incentive to go back to the master where he will be able to drink wine. So again, according to the conclusion of the Gemara, everybody's in agreement that if he made him hefker, the slave would be free, but this situation is not that he became hefker. He's still owned by the master. He's in an interim stage. The yiyush has not yet occurred. And the question was, as Rashi points out in the last words on the page, what's better for the master? Because the master is still the master. Is it better to have the slave able to drink wine because that keeps him healthy? Or is it better to restrict wine so that he should have a taste of freedom and he should have an incentive to go back to the master? Yasher Koach, thank you for joining.